Good morning, Luma Digest with me, Noura, for Friday the 22nd of May. Okay, so, storage. Not the most glamorous topic, I know, but stay with me because this is one of those invisible bottleneck stories that actually matters if you're building anything with AI right now. Most teams working with large language models hit the same wall eventually. They've got the GPUs, they've got the models, everything looks great on paper. And then, nothing happens. The GPUs just sit there waiting for data to arrive. The compute is ready, but the storage cannot keep up. Minio and NVIDIA have partnered on something called the STX reference architecture, and what they have done is standardize on S3 compatible object storage to close that gap. The interesting bit is not really the partnership itself, it is that this storage pattern is now becoming the baseline expectation. If you are building AI systems in 2025, your storage layer needs to match your GPU clock speed, full stop. The old way of thinking about storage as this separate, slower tier, that does not work anymore when your compute is running at this pace. The practical takeaway here is pretty straightforward. If your AI infrastructure is hitting performance walls and you have ruled out the obvious suspects, look at how fast your data is actually arriving. Because idle GPUs are expensive GPUs and storage bottlenecks are one of the most common reasons they sit there doing nothing. Right. So staying in the world of AI infrastructure for a minute, there is a choice that keeps coming up when you are building retrieval systems for language models. And honestly, it is one of those decisions that sounds more complicated than it actually is once you see the two patterns side by side, vector RAG versus graph RAG. Both are retrieval augmented generation strategies, but they solve quite different problems. Vector RAG works by similarity. You chunk up an article, embed it, and then when someone asks a question, you find the nearest neighbors in that vector space. It is fast. It is simple. It works really well for semantic search, content discovery, that sort of thing. Graph RAG works by relationships. Instead of similarity, you are modeling entities, connections, dependencies. When a question comes in, you start from seed nodes and expand outward through the relationship network. This is brilliant for multi-hop questions, things like which policies does this service depend on, or trace the chain of approvals for this decision. Questions where the answer is not in one place but spread across connected pieces. Neither approach is universally better. The choice depends entirely on what your questions actually need to do. What I am seeing in production systems now is that most teams end up using both. Vector search finds the candidates, graph traversal expands the context around them. Then you re-rank to keep the signal clean. It is a hybrid approach, and it works because each layer is doing what it does best. The lesson here is simpler than it sounds. Start with what fits your workload, not what sounds more sophisticated, because unnecessary complexity in your retrieval pipeline compounds downstream. Extraction errors in graph RAG cascade in ways that chunk boundary issues in vector RAG do not. A well-designed vector system often outlasts a poorly executed graph system. Something to think about if you are building this sort of thing. Now, let's talk quantum computing. And I have got two stories here that both landed this week and both feel like meaningful steps forward. First one, Xanadu has developed a new mechanism for quantum read-only memory that cuts the cost of loading classical data into quantum systems by half. This is a genuine breakthrough because data loading has been one of the hidden bottlenecks limiting what near-term quantum algorithms can actually do in practice. The overhead of getting your data into the quantum system has been high enough that for a lot of problems, the advantage disappears before you even start computing. Halving that cost changes the maths. It expands the set of problems where quantum approaches are worth considering. Second story. There is a new framework for quantum reinforcement learning that decouples the number of qubits you need from the complexity of the problem you are solving. This is huge because up until now, harder problems meant more qubits, and more qubits meant exponentially harder engineering. This framework is showing competitive performance against classical methods on chemical and energy system design problems, but with moderate qubit counts that are actually achievable on current hardware. What this really means is that quantum is starting to become useful on problems that matter to industry, without needing the massive qubit counts that are still years away. The big picture across both of these stories is the same. Quantum computing is moving from interesting in theory to applicable in specific domains. Not everything, not yet, but the edges are sharpening. Actually, staying with AI for one more, because this one made me sit up. There is a system called SOLAR, Self-Optimizing Agent for Lifelong Learning. What it does is combine meta-learning with reinforcement learning to build autonomous agents that can self-improve across streaming data without catastrophic forgetting. That last bit is the key part. Most learning systems, when you feed them new data, they start forgetting what they learned before. Catastrophic forgetting. It is a real problem. Solar maintains an evolving knowledge base of adaptation strategies, which means it can keep learning in non-stationary environments. Environments where the rules keep changing. That is a different kind of agent entirely. The reason this matters is that most real-world problems are not static. Markets shift, user behavior changes, systems evolve. An agent that can adapt continuously without losing what it already knows is exponentially more useful than one that needs retraining from scratch every time the world changes. I have been thinking about this one all morning, honestly, because if we can build agents that genuinely learn across time, that changes the kinds of problems we can hand off to autonomous systems, worth keeping an eye on. And okay, last story today, and this one is a bit of a reality check. Waymo has paused its robotaxi service in 4 cities because their vehicles keep driving into flooded roads. The detection systems are missing the floods, and the cars just keep going. Atlanta, San Antonio, service suspended until they figure it out. The reason this story matters is because it highlights something we do not talk about enough with autonomous systems: the gap between simulation testing and real-world edge cases. Flooding is not an edge case in Atlanta during storm season. It is a predictable hazard, but the system was not catching it. This is the bit that keeps me up at night with autonomous systems. It is not the 99.9% of normal conditions where they work brilliantly. It is the 0.1% of unusual conditions where the failure modes are unpredictable and the consequences are real. Waymo did the right thing here. They paused the service. They are fixing it. But it is a reminder that works in testing and works in the world are still 2 very different bars to clear. So, stepping back from everything today, the thread I keep coming back to is infrastructure, storage bottlenecks, retrieval strategies, quantum data loading costs. These are not the flashy breakthroughs that make headlines, but they are the foundations that determine what actually works in production. You can have the best model in the world, but if your storage cannot feed it fast enough, or your retrieval system cannot find the right context, or your quantum algorithm cannot load its data efficiently, none of it matters. The unglamorous infrastructure work is what makes the exciting stuff possible. Something to remember as you are planning your builds this quarter, and that is your Luma Digest for this morning. Thanks for being here. I will see you in the next one.